About why we're here. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever, and let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely. He has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Lord bless the reading of his word. I want to rejoice with Les and Beth this morning as they brought their little son here today. We also want to uphold Jacob and Helena, as they are in Germany, and on Friday they had a funeral for Jacob's dad. And so I want to just continue to uphold them. So we just want to open a word of prayer, and then we'll allow the men to have an opportunity to share some things that they've been thinking about. Thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day. Lord, in your word we read that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so we rejoice today with Les and Beth, and just pray that you would give them ongoing strength and wisdom as they raise Cohen. Pray that you'll allow them to enjoy the blessings of life. Undertake for Jacob and Helena. Pray for them and pray that you would comfort them. Watch over them as they spend time with family and friends and as they work through a grieving process and the departure of Jacob's dad. Thank you, Lord, that we can break bread and that we can read passages like Psalm 118 to remind us of your goodness, your salvation. And so as we break bread today, we're mindful of the life that was given so that we might have life. Pray that you would just encourage us as we open your word and as different ones share. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful gift that you've given to us, your Son, so that we can be set free, that our sins can be forgiven, simply believing in you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can boldly approach you. We can come to your throne of grace. Thank you for this body of believers here, Lord, and thank you for just the encouragement it is to come and kind of encourage each other and also help each other when we have needs, Lord. And thank you, too, for the promise, all the promises in your word, and also those that are yet to come, Lord. We know you're coming back. We look forward to that day as we commune here together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll turn to Colossians 1, starting at 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fulfillment should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things through himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in him the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, and which I, Paul, became a minister. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that, like, how great your love is for us. And Lord, how you reconciled and your whole plan of salvation for us. Thank you. Amen.
Matthew 16. I've been thinking about the life of Peter. Probably most of us can identify with Peter. We have what we refer to as caricatures, sort of overinflated pictures of Peter. Passage that we read in Luke chapter 5 is just a really humbling moment in Peter's life. In fact, there's a lot of humbling moments in Peter's life. The psalm that we read, Psalm 118, was to help you realize that Peter read that psalm. He quotes it actually in his letter to 1 Peter, which we're going to look at least briefly. The incident that we have in Matthew chapter 16, in the midst of Jesus' ministry, and people are starting to see the evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. Of course, the disciples have probably all, some point or other, probably said, we're clearly convinced and persuaded that Jesus is a Messiah. Verse 13, chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're there. And he's looking around and he looks at you and is with his eyes piercing. He asks you the question, although you know he asked everybody. He asked everybody that was there with him, the disciples, meaning the disciples that were with him, who do people say the Son of Man is? So he looks around at you and his gaze stops. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's a scuttlebutt. That's what's out there on Facebook and Twitter. Well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Have you understood the identification of who Jesus is, as we read in Colossians chapter 1, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10? Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ." Reference to the Christ is a reference to the fact that he is the chosen one. He's the anointed one. He's the one that's been selected for a special task. Well, he says, and he qualifies, he says, not only that, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man." What you have come to understand in terms of who Jesus is was not revealed to you by me or others, but by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's the point. There's lots of popular opinion about who Jesus is. But who do you say that he is? No, not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. That's a tough one, isn't it? From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter, one who said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, took him aside and began to rebuke the creator of life, the sustainer of it, the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead is found. Never, Lord. Never, Lord, are you going to suffer death. Never are you going to be crucified. I'm not going to let it happen. This shall never happen to you. Jesus said to Peter, and of course in the presence of these disciples, when you and I think we know best, that somehow we have it all figured out, where we can tell the creator of the universe what he should do or can do or can't do. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. What happened to Peter? What happened to that man who bowed down at the feet of Jesus and says, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man"? The account that we read in Luke. Well, Peter was to experience numerous humblings throughout life. In fact, the purpose of us being here today is to humble us. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 17, since you, as a believer, you and me, since we call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. Peter wasn't living in reverent fear much of his life. In fact, I tend to think that you and I don't either. We are not catching the obvious. It's all around us. The truth of God's grace, His provision for us, His mercy every day. Peter goes on to write, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. You could probably put a couple different verses there, but one that comes to mind, of course, is all men shall know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. The breaking of bread is an opportune time for us to express our love for God, but to do so in unity, to do so out of a deep love for one another, to look forward to breaking bread together, to hold hands, as it were, knowing that the life that is in you is also in your life's partner or your children, because they too have placed their faith in the Creator of the universe. In chapter 2, you'll recognize in verse 6, that verse was quoted from Psalm 118, verse 22. Notice how that he uses a phrase again. Now to you who believe. That's who we're speaking to here this morning. To you who believe. To you who believe Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? But to you who believe, this stone is precious. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, who gave his life for me, so that my sin could be dealt with, past, present, and future. As I partake of the bread, I realize I'm part of one body. As I partake of the juice, I realize that it represents the blood that was spilt for me so that I could be forgiven and have peace with God. Chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, who was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. We were reminded this morning in 1 John chapter 1, that oftentimes we go about life not realizing that we're living under the mercy and the grace of God. Yes, we're here today and we have a clear conscience, but God knows us completely. He sees our hearts. He knows those areas of our lives that need to be worked on. There is unknown sin in each life. My life, your life. I might see it in your life. If I do, I have an obligation to come to you. You see it in my life, you have an obligation to come to me. But oftentimes we don't even see that in each other's lives. Of course, we're pretty good at concealing it, aren't we? But oftentimes it's not because we're conscious of anything. It's just that this is the world we live in. We live in the residue of sin every day. And we're here to be cleansed, to give thanks to God, to appreciate His grace. Verse 7 of chapter 4, the end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded. Self-control so that you can pray. Again, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. That's what the love of God does for you and for me. I ask those of you who are coming to share in terms of service, if you would come forward at this time. Peter went through some pretty significant changes. We read in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John that he underwent a name change. In the book of Revelation, we read that all those who love the Lord and are prepared to live godly and holy lives, people who are called overcomers, get a new name. That must have been something for Peter to hear. No longer to be called Cephas, but Petros. Rocky. Lord, give you wisdom as you seek to live for the Lord. As we break bread, realize that the emblems are simply symbolic. They have no power in and of themselves. There's nothing strange that's taking place. What we do here is simply in remembrance. What purifies our hearts is the ability to say to the Lord, I need you, and I confess. I'm only human. There's a lot of things in me that I don't realize are wrong. And so I live under your mercy and I live under your grace. And so I give thanks. And when we sing songs that we appreciate, as we've enjoyed here this morning with the worship team, did a great job, that we just echo those sentiments. We express them to God. And isn't it good to know that you're not doing it alone? You're actually doing it with other men and women, boys and girls, representing different nations, different parts of the world, and people around the world are breaking bread today. And all doing the same thing. Just like the 24 elders who were crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is, and who is to come. I ask one of you men to give thanks for the loaf.
Lord, thank you that we can come here and fellowship together. Thank you that we can remember your body that was broken for us. That we can be a part of your body, Lord, by placing our trust in you. Lord, I pray that we would be aware of that on a daily basis as we seek to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
They understood the significance of taking time daily to remember all that the Lord Jesus did for them. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again, and our hearts are overwhelmed, Lord, when we think of the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us willingly. Thank you for the love that was shown to us and still is today, a love that we cannot describe by any words. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Thank you for your willingness to shed your blood so that we could be set free. Just ask you to continue to be with us here this morning as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.